How many of you people had an exasperating week this last week? Not everything went as you wished or would had it go. Anybody like that? Kind of disgusting, isn't it? And have you ever thought about asking God why? Well, I would ask him why, but I'm afraid he would tell me. And I wouldn't necessarily want to know that. You know, it'd been over a month ago, I was up doing chores, and I heard this little noise, and I looked down, and I found this baby coon had fallen out of the lofters above, and so I put him back thinking, you know, he just fell out. Well, the next morning, he was there again, so I took him home, got a bottle, and started feeding him. And now then, he's about this big and about that big around, and I get a lot of enjoyment out of him. He's just as ornery as can be. And Carolyn doesn't particularly like him. And she's always kicking him and swatting him with a fly swatter. And you don't think about coons having much of an intelligence, but because she does that, he gets down on his all fours and he'll sneak up on her when she's not watching and grab her toe. And we were out shucking sweet corn the other day, and we had him up in the trailer, and he fell out, and pretty soon Carolyn let out this yell and almost upset the trailer. He'd stuck up and got her toe. But it's enjoyment, and I enjoy those kinds of things. But you know, when you think about the crazy world that we're living in now, maybe some of you younger people, it's, you know, you're just used to it, but where I came from, life was a lot different than it is now. I mean, you know, you go back to the 40s and 50s and 60s, and you didn't have nearly the restrictions on life that you do today. And sometimes I wonder just how long, Lord, how long will it be before you come back? And he is coming back. You believe that, don't you? Yes. And how many of you know when? Nobody knows? Yeah. I'll be glad when it happens. I look forward to it. Every morning I wake up, I keep hoping I'm in another land. But so far I've ended up here. And my son makes me work hard. He doesn't realize how old I am. But we've had an interesting time this year. Our first baler burned up, got caught on fire. We got another baler and trying to work the kinks out of it. We were baling and actually working in the same field at the same time, which is unusual. You don't usually just rake hay right ahead of the baler and bale it as you rake it, but we were that day. And because this new baler was having its fits, every time it would stop, I would always go over and see if I could help Doug get things going again, and we would go on. And so I was raking hay over on the other side of the field, and he was over there baling, and I seen the baler stop and thought nothing of it. So I turned the tractor and just kind of gradually headed over that way, and I noticed that I thought, well, what's he looking underneath the tongue of that baler for? And the closer I got, I realized he wasn't looking under the thing. He was hanging upside down. He'd gotten up on top of the thing to clean the hay off the top and slipped and fell and caught one leg between the shaft of the baler and the side frame and fell off the baler and was hanging upside down by that leg. And I guess, had it not been a God thing and I was there working with him, same field, he would have probably lost his life there hanging upside down like that. And so Friday, he goes in for his knee operation to see if they can get everything corrected there. But the good news is, we got the bailing done. There's a passage of scripture. I preached this at the Nazarene church here a couple of weeks ago, and I had a lot of trouble preaching it, and I kind of feel it's coming back a little bit. My inner ears are swollen, and if I talk too much, or the reason I wasn't singing this morning, because if I use my voice very much, that stuff swells up in there, and when I say something, it sounds like somebody's down inside yelling at me, you know? It just amplified, the sound that comes out, it just amplified, drives me crazy. But in John chapter 13, there's a passage of scripture that I shared that morning, and I think it's a scripture that probably is important for us to understand, to learn, and to understand. Dionne Warwick, you ever hear of her? You remember the song she made popular? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the one thing there's never enough of. Well, in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus is speaking to his disciples about love, which isn't a new topic in the Bible, but Jesus addresses his disciples and says to them, I've got a new command for you, a new command. He says, I want you to love each other as I have loved you, like I love you. What made that interesting was back in Leviticus, when we first find out that God is giving out his commands and lifestyles and stuff, and he said, you know, what's the first commandment? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That didn't work. It didn't work judging others and loving others as we loved ourselves, because so many of us are so prideful, there's no one we could love like us. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus said, but I've got a new commandment for you. Love each other like I have loved you. And, you know, I'm thinking, how did God love me? You know, Carolyn could love me, but I don't know if anybody else could when I was growing up. I don't know that I was a very lovable person. I was more, prideful. You know, I wanted to do everything my way, do it this way. And yet I found out that God was able to love me. And I look around at some of you and I wonder, I'm still wondering, how did God love you? You know what I'm saying? But then he turns around and tells me that I'm to love every one of you. And he was telling disciples, you've got to love everyone like I have loved you. And I think God loved me enough to forgive me of my sins. You know, he loved me enough to look past, beyond, but then bring healing and wholeness back into my life. Cleansed me from all of my unrighteousness, which I had plenty of growing up, plenty of unrighteousness. And Jesus is telling his disciples, at this point, he says, you know, I want you to love. Well, no, he didn't say, I want you to. He says, I command you to love one another like I've loved you. That's a pretty tall command, a pretty tall command to follow, to live up to, I find. You know, he didn't say just love the ones that have hair. He didn't say just love the ones that, you know, that are pretty. He even said love Maynard. I mean, look at Maynard. Yeah, unconditionally. We're to love. We're to accept each other You know, that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. I want you to accept each other just as you are. Now, when I was truck driving, I attended a church out in Virginia, and it's along the beach. And that night, the people start coming in. These young people start coming in with their swimming suits on yet, come into the service, you know. And I had a lot of trouble with that, you know. But when I read this commandment, God said, you got to love them like I love them, you know. And you've got to love me like God loves me. And I've got to love you like God loves you. And he's saying this to his disciples. But I'm thinking that Jesus is thinking more about just that time when he was speaking to those disciples. I think he was looking way into the future, maybe even into this era, where the song of Dionne Warwick might be popular if we could all learn how to love one another. And yet, you look around us and we find out that there are as many church splits over arguing over the color of the carpet than there is things that are doctrinal. You know what I'm saying? And love. Love like God loves. You know, that shouldn't happen. There shouldn't be, I'll probably get in trouble here. There shouldn't be so many different kinds of churches in our world if we loved one another like God loved us. You know what I'm saying? Saying that, I remember I was preaching revival one time in Dallas City, little old country church. And it was packed full of what a place that said, standing room only. And I was preaching about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's a little lady that sat up here, Jean, she's about like you, sat up here in the front row, and pretty soon she jumped up, had a hank in her hand, and started singing some kind of song and started going around that sanctuary, and pretty soon the whole church was chasing her. And like that scared me to death, you know what I'm saying? But when you think about God and his love and the way God does things and how God is able to fit into every situation in our lives and brings out wholeness and unity in that. And God can bring unity into any body of believers. All we have to do is love one another like God loves us. You know, it just works that way. Our churches really ought to be full. But, you know, the second thing that stands out in that passage that Jesus gives, it says, not only does it say love one another, but he says you must, not you should or can you or will you. He said you must love one another. Must. You know, there's times when I must eat what Carolyn fixes for lunch. I might not like it, but I must eat it, I guarantee you. And Jesus is making a point here about, you can't shrink out of this thing. I mean, we're supposed to be taking serious our Christianity, aren't we? We're supposed to be taking serious our relationship with God. I heard a minister this morning had the TV on, and he said he's had people that he's been sharing with, and he'd say, the Bible says this, and the person would say, well, I know what the Bible says, but this is what I think. You know? I was in a Walmart here a while back, and I was witnessing to this woman, and she says, well, my mother, she said, I'm a believer because my mother says this, this, this. And I said, yeah, but your mother didn't write the book, you know. You don't do it the way your mother says it just because she's your mother. You do it the way God says it. And God says, you must. love one another. Amen. You know, even with my bad preaching, you've got to love me. Huh? Or I never listen to my sermons after these things, but I thought that last time I was here, I thought I'd listen to that because it was a new message for me. And that thing come on, I said, good night, I wouldn't walk across the road to hear that old man preach. And I understand why there's so many empty pews this morning, you know. But God said, I want you to love everybody like I've loved you, and it's not will you, it's you must do it. You must. You know, I've found that there have always been people in the churches where I have been, where I've pastored, where I've gone, where I've attended, and there's usually someone in that church that I just really struggle, you know what I'm saying? Really struggle with. And you know what I do when I struggle with individuals like that? I ignore them. Huh? How many are you with me? Been there, done that? Well, that's not what God is saying in this scripture. That person that you just can't hardly stand, God says, you must love that person. Somebody said, well, yeah, I can love them, but I don't have to like them. But I think God has different ideas. It's easy. Carol and I, we like to entertain people, and we usually have people at our home to share with. But one thing that I keep getting after her about is that we always invite people that are like us, you know what I'm saying, that are easy to visit with and stuff. And I said, you know, there are people in our churches that probably never have an invitation to go somewhere with somebody else. I said, these are the kind of people we need to be inviting into our homes and sharing our love with them. Anybody going to invite us out for dinner today? You must love one another. And the third thing that seems important to me in this, what Jesus was saying, is the reason this is important, that you love one another like I've loved you, that you must do it. It's not a choice, it's a command. It's because the world is watching us, and they will judge us by our love for one another. If people walk into our churches and are ignored, you think they'll be back? But if people come into our churches and the whole church swarms around them like they're long lost friends, you think they'll be back? Yeah, chances are they'll be back. And that's what love does. You see, the writer of Corinthians said that there's three virtues, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest one of these things is love. And Paul goes on to say, before that, he says that love never fails. If it's God's love, if it's pure love, if it's real love, it never fails. There's a lot of churches that need to try that suit on, you know. I've walked into some churches before that I think maybe one person said something to me, and that was, you're in my seat, you know. But I know that for me, I like to be around friendly people, loving people, kind people. And I think that's the way most of us are, aren't we? We'd rather sit next to a friendly person. You know? And the church where we're going now, part of the congregation like this, part of them is over here and part of them is over here. And you can almost tell the difference between the kinds of people they are. And they're all kind of paired up in groups, and they all, this group, they kind of go this direction, and this group, they kind of go in this direction. When they say get up and greet each other, you hardly ever see them greet these guys over here. They're always greeting these guys over here. Well, it's our story. It's our witness to the world, don't you know? The worst thing you can do, the worst thing we can do, is once we leave this church and we're around unsaved people, is talk negative about someone in the church, about the preacher. He's a terrible preacher. You don't bring up the negative, but just talk about how much you love that person and the Lord. That you'd rather be friends with someone who cares than someone who doesn't. And I guarantee you that the world is looking for something. You know, I mean, look at the world we're living in. It's in chaos. I mean, all the killings is going on, all the shootings are going on. We're bailing hay for a fellow over here this week. He's a security guard at the hospital, and I was talking to him yesterday. He was telling about all the shooting that's been going on to kids, the victims they've been bringing into the hospital, all the crime stuff that's brought people into the hospital. And you know, I don't remember stuff like that. Yeah, I had a neighbor shoot his neighbor's mule one time, but I don't remember anybody shooting his people. You know, but God is trying to show his disciples the key to success in the world that he's placed them in. He sent these people, these disciples, out all over the world with the good news that God loves them. And they were doing that because they loved God and they loved one another. I want you to know that God loves you. If you happen to be here today, and I don't know that you are, but if you happen to be here and you've never really asked Jesus into your heart and life, why don't you do that? Why don't you experience that love that God has for you so that you can love me like God loves you? Why don't you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, sometimes it's so hard to take in everything that you try to teach us in your word. And yet we realize, if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that everything in your word is there to help us to be more like you. You call us to be holy because you're holy. And that holiness blesses your name, is a witness to your love and to your holiness. And it spreads the good news to a lost world. Father, I pray for this congregation that the love of Jesus would overwhelm each and that it would overflow into their community, that good things could begin to happen. In Jesus' name, amen.